The death of Venice had been predicted, pronounced, and lamented for 200 years, ever since 1797, when Napoleon brought the once mighty Venetian Republic to its knees. For 1,000 years, Venice had been the world's supreme maritime power. Its reach had extended from the Alps to Constantinople, and its wealth had been unequaled. The architectural variety of her palaces, Byzantine, Gothic, Renaissance, Baroque, Neoclassical, chronicled an evolving aesthetic shaped by a millennium of conquests and their accumulated spoils. But by the 18th century, Venice had given itself over to hedonism and dissipation, masked balls, gaming tables, prostitution, and corruption. The ruling class abandoned its responsibilities, and the state became enfeebled, powerless to resist Napoleon's approaching army. The Great Council of the Venetian Republic voted itself out of existence on May 12, 1797, and the last in the line of 120 doges resigned. From that day forward, there had been no doges in the doge's palace, no Council of Ten in the Great Council Chamber, no shipbuilders turning out warships in the arsenal, no prisoners shuffling across the Bridge of Sighs on the way to the dungeons. "I will be an Attila for the Venetian state," Napoleon had thundered, in Italian, so as not to be misunderstood. He proved good to his word. His men looted the Venetian treasury, demolished scores of buildings, pulled precious stones from their settings, melted down objects of gold and silver, and carted off major paintings for installation in the Louvre and the Brera Museum in Milan. Venice emerged from its defeat an impoverished provincial village, unable to do much more than settle into a languid and picturesque decline. It is this Venice that we have come to know, not the triumphant and arrogant conqueror, but the humbled and crumbling ruin. The fallen Venice became a symbol of faded grandeur, a place of melancholy, nostalgia, romance, mystery, and beauty. As such, it was irresistible to painters and writers. Lord Byron, who lived in a palace on the Grand Canal for 2 years, seemed almost to prefer the decaying Venice, perchance even dearer in her day of woe than when she was a boast, a marvel, and a show. Henry James saw Venice as a much-used tourist attraction, a battered peep show and bazaar. John Ruskin, focusing on the city's architectural riches, hailed Venice as the paradise of cities. To Charles Dickens, Venice was a ghostly city, and for Thomas Mann, it was a darkly seductive curiosity, half fairy tale, half snare. I understood why so many stories set in Venice were mysteries. Sinister moods could be easily conjured by shadowy black canals and labyrinthine passageways, where even the initiated sometimes lost their way. Reflections, mirrors, and masks suggested that things were not what they seemed. Hidden gardens, shuttered windows, and unseen voices spoke of secrets and possibly the occult. Moorish-style arches were reminders that, after all, the unfathomable mind of the East had had a hand in all this. In the soul-searching aftermath of the Fenice fire, Venetians seemed to be asking themselves the very questions that I, too, had been wondering about. Namely, what it meant to live in so rarefied and unnatural a setting. Was there anything left of the Venice that Virginia Woolf described as the playground of all that was gay, mysterious, and irresponsible? This much I knew. The population of Venice had been declining steadily for the past 45 years. From 174,000 in 1951 to 70,000 at the time of the Fenice fire. The rising cost of living and the scarcity of jobs had caused a migration to the mainland. Venice was no longer impoverished, however. On the contrary, northern Italy now had one of the highest per capita incomes in Europe. Because of its 2 centuries of poverty, the city's architectural heritage was still remarkably free of modern intrusions. The 19th and 20th centuries had barely left any mark on it at all. Walking through Venice now, one still encountered a succession of vistas that looked much as they had when Canaletto painted them in the 18th century.